Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
I'm going to start with a story this morning of a young boy and his dad. We're going out for a drive together on a beautiful afternoon, and out of nowhere a bee flew into the car window. And I've actually experienced this, not in a car, but I was on my bike last year, and a bee flew up. I had my motorcycle jacket sleeves wide open, and the bee flew up my this is doing 100 k's, flew up my sleeve jacket, and I knew it was in me, and next minute, ding, as it went right up my motorcycle jacket sleeve, and I just had to keep focusing. It was really painful, actually, and just keep focused on the job. You know, when you're riding a bike, you can't exactly just take your eyes off the road for a minute. But this father and son, they were driving along in the car, and the bee flew in, and what was terrifying about it was that the young boy was deathly allergic to bee stings, and so he became petrified with this bee flying around inside. So his dad quickly reached out, grabbed the bee, squeezed it in his hand, and then he released it. And when he released it, the bee started to fly around inside the car again. And as soon as he let it go, and then the poor little fella, panic started all over again, thinking he was going to get stung. So his dad pulled over on the side of the road, and he reached out his hand, and he opened his hand to show his young son. And there, stuck in his skin, was the stinger from the bee. And he said to his son, "Do you see this? You don't need to be afraid anymore. I've taken the sting for you." And that's really the message of the cross. We don't need to be afraid anymore because Jesus has taken away the sting of death from each one of our lives. And I've called this short message this morning, "Come and See." And I get these three words from what the angel said to the woman who came to the tomb early on Easter Sunday. And so if I turn to Matthew 28, "After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay.'" And in the original language, these three words, "come and see," is an imperative command. And so it's like, come, not giving you an option, come and see. And this morning I want to have a look at this invitation that the angel gave to the woman on that first day. And we see here that, you know, there were many things on that morning, on that first Easter morning, there were many things that could have hindered the woman from obeying that word and declining the invitation. And the first thing is that, you know, this was a graveyard. It was a spooky place. Graveyards aren't the place where you go and spend recreational hours. And, you know, this is just before dawn. And it was a pretty frightening place. And women in those days were not trained in martial arts. They didn't have pepper spray. They didn't have whistles to blow in case they got into trouble. And so, first of all, you know, it wasn't really an inviting place. And secondly, there were authorities there. There were Praetorian guards who had been assigned, who were, you know, in those days, they were assassins, killing machines. And still the woman responded to the invitation to come. But thirdly, there was the issue of the stone. And, you know, this is probably the biggest issue. You know, these women weren't female heavyweight powerlifting champions of Jerusalem. They were just ordinary women. And the soldiers were there. Maybe, you know, who else was going to move the rock? well, the disciples, they'd all scattered. They'd all run and hidden in various closets and corners of Jerusalem. So they couldn't count on the men for help. And still the angel says, come. And the woman didn't hesitate. They left. They forgot the things that hindered, and they kept coming to the tomb to obey the angel's invitation. And I want to say to us today, let's not miss the invitation that Jesus issues to all of us, because this is one of the central truths that will make Easter's reality our reality when we come and see what happened on that first Easter Sunday morning. And maybe this morning, maybe you've been a believer for a while, and perhaps you've faced recent hindrances that are stopping you from pursuing that invitation to come and see, to go deeper with God, to come to Him, to sit at His feet, to see what He wants to show you. And perhaps there's hindrances that have got in your way. And I love the story from Alexander the Great. We all know that he was probably the greatest military commander in history. And he was advancing to attack Persia. And at one critical point, it appeared that his troops were going to be defeated. And Alexander couldn't figure out what had happened to his troops, who were at one time the finest fighting men in all the world. So he mounted his horse and he rode through the camp to survey the troops for himself. And he soon found out what the problem was. He discovered that every man had so much treasure and plunder from their previous campaigns that every one of them had literally become weighed down. And they were spending time focusing on what they had rather than the goal of future battles. And without a focus on the future, the sheer weight of their riches, they were being hindered from being effective soldiers in combat. So this is what the great commander did. He immediately commanded that all the spoils, riches, and plunder from past battles be thrown into a heap in the middle of the camp. And there he burned them all. And of course, his men complained bitterly, but they soon came to see the wisdom of their commander's order. And a historian later wrote this: it was as if wings had been given to them. They walked lightly again, and victory was assured. And they went on to conquer not only Persia, but the entire known world of its time. So let me ask us the question this morning. Are we carrying baggage that is hindering us from coming to the risen Christ this morning? And unlike any other time in history, we're living in a culture and a society that is hindering people from following this command to come to Christ. And I found this piece of writing that I want to share with you this morning. And it's called The Paradox. The paradox of our time in history is that we spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. More conveniences but less time. More medicine but less wellness. We read too little, we watch TV too much, and we pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are times of tall men and short character, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce, of fancy houses but broken homes. We've learnt how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life, but not life to years. We've cleaned up the air, but we've polluted the soul. Whew. Pretty heavy words. And as we contemplate this invitation to come to the truth of the empty tomb, the truth of that empty tomb all begins with a heart relationship, an authentic, real, honest relationship with Jesus, where he's saying to you and to me, come to me. And he's asking us to identify and recognize the hindrances that may be restricting us from coming to his feet. He said, come, the angel said, come and see the place where he lay. And so I want to focus on the second word, come and see today. What can we see? Well, there's lots of things that we could look at this morning. I'm only going to focus on a couple of things. First thing is that we need to see the horror of our sin. And as already has been quoted by Margaret this morning, Isaiah 53 verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Notice the focus on our transgressions, our iniquities. You know, Jesus didn't die for his sin. He didn't have any. He died for our sin. He died in your place. He died in my place. And, you know, a tomb, when we look at a tomb and realize this is the residence of a dead person, and that dead person's name was Jesus, we're looking at the Easter tomb and we're seeing that it was my sin and your sin that brought him to that tomb. And when we understand that, we can begin to develop a proper awareness of the horror of our own sin, the magnitude of that sin. And I think it was the great preacher Billy Sunday, who was a former professional baseball player, and he said the problem we have with sin is we treat it like a cream puff instead of the rattlesnake that it really is. And so today there's an invitation to us from 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Lord, we pray this morning that you'd help us to see the horror of sin, and that was the reason that took you to the cross and to the empty tomb. But secondly, just as we come to the tomb, we see that it's empty. And this morning we see that Jesus is risen, that he conquered death. And this is the most important thing, because with the death of Christ, the Good Friday message that we celebrate, where Jesus died for our sins, if he didn't rise again from the dead, we would all still be in our sin. But the fact that death could not lay its hands upon Jesus, corruption could not wrap its arms around Jesus, because he was a sinless offering. And the enemy, the prince of this world, came to Jesus and he had nothing on him. And so 3 days later, Jesus came out of the grave and he is risen. And because he is risen, all those who believe in Jesus will rise with him. Look at this beautiful verse from Thessalonians 4:16. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Beautiful. So if we've asked Jesus to be the forgiver of our sin, if we follow him as our leader, if we give him our life and let him be the chief and commander of our soul, we will also rise with him on that wonderful day. That's if he comes back. If he comes back after we've gone, if he comes back and we're still here, then we're going to be caught up together with him and the rest of the saints in the air. And you know, the thing about this act, and I love this, Hebrews 7:25 says this, "Therefore Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." And I'm also reminded today that the risen and resurrected Christ, when he does a salvation job, he does it absolute, thoroughly, completely, to the uttermost. This morning, if you know Jesus, you have been saved to the uttermost. Some of us from the guttermost to the uttermost. But Jesus has saved us. And not only that, but if you have loved ones right now that don't know the Lord, then I want to remind you, he always lives to make intercession for them. You know, you're not the only one that's crying out to God, the Father, for the souls of those who you know, who are precious to you, family members, people that you are closely associated with, perhaps friends that you grew up with. I want you to know today that he lives and intercedes forever on behalf of those that need to know him. So here's three of Easter's most powerful words: come and see. And these words embody the truth that take the sting of death away from all of us. And I always remember when my dad came to the Lord, and my dad had lived a very, very crooked life, and he'd hurt a lot of people in his lifetime. And I remember he said to me the first time he went to a funeral after he became a Christian. And he said, James, I couldn't believe how different it was. When I went to funerals prior to knowing Jesus, it was all hopeless. It was the end. There was nothing. That was the belief that he had. But since he'd come to know Jesus, he knew that leaving this world was stepping into eternity. And I am so grateful that through a whole series of steps and processes that my father had a miraculous salvation experience. And just as my mother has recently gone to be with the Lord, I will also meet my father in eternity and see them both again. So we're going to have a short time in the breakout rooms. Sue, have you got them sorted? If we could just have 15 minutes.
Yeah, all sorted. Yep.
That would be great. And here's some questions for you. Take a snapshot with your phone just to help you in your discussion times. So I'll just give you 20, 30 seconds to do that. Number one, share one thing that has changed as a result of you having come and seen the empty tomb. Be specific about that. Don't be waffly. Be specific. What one thing has changed in your life? Secondly, share some of the hindrances you see today that are stopping people from experiencing the fullness of Christ in their lives. And what about you? Can you share a hindrance that you may be struggling with that is hindering you right now from experiencing? Because often if we name it, then we can begin to deal to it. And so if you feel open enough this morning, then why don't you share that? It's great to talk about hindrances for other people, but what about my hindrances? What about your hindrances this morning? And number three, the poem said, we've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to life, but not life to years. What can you do today to change this for yourself?